happy Mother's Day to all you mothers out there. It is a special day for you, and it's one you really deserve. Since I have, since Tracy has hurt herself, I know the task that y'all live the life now. You're underappreciated. We're studying the Holy Spirit, and today we're on lesson 10, and we're going to be studying about the miraculous gifts of the Holy Spirit. Let's look at, you ever thought about the early church at the very beginning? What a really important part that the Holy Spirit played in establishing the church. You think about it, they didn't have the Bible like you and I did. The day of Pentecost came along, and we talked about the, Acts 2, verses 1 through 6. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. As we talked about Wednesday evening, this is the apostles. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and begun to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused because everyone heard them speak in his own language. So here you see the Holy Spirit in action upon the apostles. And as we talk about Wednesday evening, this was the baptism of the Holy Spirit here with them, where they are immersed in the Holy Spirit here, but it's creating the fact that it's supposed to. First of all, it's talking about, it says, and they were in Jerusalem, and there's devout men from every nation under heaven. Well, you think about that. How many different languages are spoken from all these nations around about? And so it comes in and says, and when the sound occurred, the sound of mighty words, what happened? The multitude came together. It drawed a crowd. They were wanting to see what's going on here. And it says they were confused. Well, that's right. They didn't know what was going on. Why? Because everyone heard them speak in his own language. Now, think if you were there on the day of Pentecost and you were speaking a different language here, and you're hearing these men speak, but you hear it in your own language. If I was there, I would hear it in English. You can see what aspect this Holy Spirit is having right here at the very beginning. This we're talking about here now, the early stages of the church. Now, through the apostles, other men who possessed spiritual gifts, the gospel of Jesus was preached. Okay? What was the command? What did he tell them to do beforehand? You need to go out and preach what? About Jesus. Well, how am I going to remember? Well, you were filled with the Holy Spirit. He's going to bring you remembrance of all these things. 2 Corinthians 2, 10 to 13. But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. All right. The Spirit knows what's in God's mind. You and I do not know. But the Spirit does. And He is revealing to these apostles and also to other inspired men. And He is revealing to them what God has planned for them. We have a new law, a new covenant. We have the church being established here. Salvation is being brought to everybody, as we talked about before, with Cornelius there. The Gentiles now are offered salvation. And so you see the part that the Holy Spirit is having in this early stages of the church. You think about it. You and I have the New Testament. We had the complete Word. But they don't. They didn't. And they needed the Holy Spirit to reveal to these men what to teach about Jesus, and God, and the plan of salvation. Yes. Oh, you said I made a mistake. Don't you know I have the Holy Spirit? Haven't I taught you already? Thank you. I appreciate that. All right. Mark it down, people. May the 12th, 2019, Dale made a mistake. All right. No, that's 1 Corinthians. Thank you, Larry. I appreciate it. No kidding aside. All right. Now, he confirmed this word with signs, okay? You've got the word you're being preached in, okay? People are going to be paying attention to it. What drew the attention at first there? It was a miracle. That's what drew them there in the first place. So he says he confirmed this word. He established word, made it stands here with signs, wonders, and miracles. Hebrews 2, verses 3 to 4. The early church knew in part until the mind of God was fully revealed. 1 Corinthians 13, 9, 12. Just as the material creation now, we're talking about creation, needed a miracle for its establishment and preparation for the natural law. You think about that. So the church, with its spiritual law, required power. When this faith, though, in June 3, wants to deliver all, the power is going to be ended. Confirmation no longer needed. 1 Peter 1, verses 12. All things are fully sustaining and complete. Now, that's synopsis. Let's look at the details of it, what we're talking about here. Miraculous gifts. Miraculous gifts from the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12, verses 8 to 11. Now, we're going to read some of these miraculous gifts. Think about some of these gifts here that were given by the Holy Spirit. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit. To another, the word of knowledge to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, different kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills. Look at all these different miracles, gifts that the Holy Spirit is given These are from the Holy Spirit. And he is distributing them to each one of our different ones individually. They don't all have the same. One of them will have the word of knowledge. Another one will have the gift of healing. Another one will have the one of speaking in tongues. Another one will have the interpretation of tongues. These gifts existed and serve an important purpose in the early church. However, there are many people today who believe these gifts still exist. These people claim that they have the ability to do things like speak in tongues. They can prophesy. As a matter of fact, they can work miracles. But does the Bible teach these gifts were meant for believers of all times? Or have they served their purpose and ceased to exist? That's the question. You got people saying that they can do these things right now. You may already talk to people and said they can do these things. You may already talk to somebody and said, yeah, I have the power. Do they? Let's look to see what the Bible, the source, says about it. First off, why do you have these miraculous gifts? Deliver the truth in the absence of complete revelation. These early saints relied upon miraculous gifts, to receive God's word piece by piece. That's the reason that you have some of them that can do one thing, another one, somebody else can do another one. They all didn't have it. They didn't have the complete revelation. He says in 1 Corinthians 14:26, how is it then, brethren, whenever you come together, each of you has a psalm, has a teaching, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation? Let all things be done for edification. You ever think about when they met the first time? Some of these churches? What did they do? Didn't have a Bible. Well, how are you going to have service there if you don't have the Bible? Well, the Holy Spirit provided them, since he can look in the mind of God and divide and give to them. He says, in the absence of an apostle, you don't have an apostle there. What if these local congregations, what are they going to do? That's the reason you had somebody that had the teaching. They had a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge here that they're going to transfer to you. It's not man's wisdom we're talking about, but it's God's wisdom, God's knowledge. And he is developing, and the Holy Spirit has given them this knowledge, this wisdom, this healing power, this ability to speak in tongues. You think about it. Congregations that everybody speaks the same language? You think about there in Jerusalem, first congregation, did everybody speak the same language? And if you do have it, somebody's got to be able to speak in tongues just to show and confirm the word, that the message that I'm presenting to you. That's the second part. Confirm the spoken word. The word confirm means to certify or prove a thing. That is genuine, that it is true. As the apostles and evangelists went out preaching the gospel, the miraculous gift would accompany their preaching and prove it to be the true word of God. Mark 16:20. All right. Here's his example. Acts 8:5-8. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. And the multitudes with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many who were possessed, and many who were paralyzed and lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. Now, you talk about here Philip is going to come together and to preach to them. And he's going to come to preach to them about Jesus. Did you know what happened in Jerusalem there? About Jesus? He's been preaching, teaching throughout this region. Did you know that they crucified him? and on the third day he arose. Now, what would you think about that? Somebody come on and tell you that today? You'd make fun of them, wouldn't you? Would you listen to him if this guy could say, well, see this lame man? You've been lame for maybe from birth for the last 10 years. Look here. He's walking again. You've seen these people that's got demons in them and how they are. They're free of demons now. Would that put more emphasis on what he's teaching about? Would that kind of confirm to you that maybe he's preaching the truth? Where else would he get this power? If he's talking about a man that was raised from the dead, that was crucified, on the third day he was raised, and here he is doing these miracles, he may have a point about this Jesus here that he's preaching to me about. This is something that you got my attention now. If I got an honest heart, I will be listening to what you're teaching to you about this man Jesus. If he can be raised from the dead, there's power. There's authority. And if you can do these miracles, they're going to take the message seriously. When God's revelation was completed and compiled into the New Testament, there ceased to be a need for revealing it and confirming it through the miraculous gift of the Holy Spirit. The word had been delivered and is entirely and sufficiently confirmed. Jude 3. Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. Hebrews 2, the third chapter, second chapter, verse 3 and 4. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord? What did Christ do when he came around? And were confirmed to us by those who heard him. God also bearing witness both with signs and wonders, with various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his own will. The gifts have served their purpose. That was what the purpose was for them. We're to confirm the word at the very beginning to preach there. To help to make you people understand that there is salvation through this man Jesus. Which he began to spoken first. He was here first and he began to teach it. And we listened to him, we heard about him. And also now we were witnesses of him. We saw what he could do. And we're here explaining to you, and have been endowed with the Holy Spirit to confirm what he says, and we remember what he says. And we're here to tell you what he says, and to confirm this word. That's the reason we're able to do these miracles, these gifts here. They have a purpose. Now, means of receiving. How did these people get these gifts? We got the purpose here of why they had it, because they're already church there, they didn't have the word. And when they had come together as a symbol there, as a meeting, what are you going to do? Well, that's the reason they have the word there from. That's the reason they have these gifts. That's the reason some people have got the word of wisdom and knowledge. Some of them have the faith. The healing part. Somebody doing the tongues and interpretation. If you got a real veil, remember how he talked about it, said you do everything decent and orderly. There's an order to these things. If you get a revelation, you're to let know what the revelation is from God. But now, how did they get these from the Holy Spirit? Acts 8, verses 14 to 19. Now, when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them, who, when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet he had fallen upon none of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Verse 17. Then they lay hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. Verse 18. And when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money, saying, give me this power also, that anyone on whom I lay hands may receive the Holy Spirit. All right. Now, how did these people get the miraculous gift? Laying on hands.
What? The apostles' hands.
Why didn't they just pray? Huh?
That's not the way it works.
Yeah. If it was praying, why would they have to leave Jerusalem to go there? Well, couldn't they just pray in Jerusalem and say, let them have these miraculous gifts? They were there and said that, they said they offered prayers that they may receive. But they did not receive it until when? Till the apostles laid their hands on them. And Simon saw it. And he's a witness to it. He saw what happened when they, the apostles, laid the hands upon the people. They understood that when they laid the hands upon them, they received the miraculous gift of the Holy Spirit. Not the same as they were baptized. Not, that's it. They were not like the other apostles. But they had a particular gift that they could do. And we've been through the list. There's some of the, I don't know the complete list, but we've been through most of the list there, what they can do. This was to help the church there. It says, you know, when they had heard that Samaria had received the word of God, and they had not had no spirit, what's going to happen when they assemble together? Somebody's got to have the real the Word of God's got to be revealed to them. And that's through the miraculous gift, the Holy Spirit.
There were so few of the apostles. I would think that it would have to be done that way. That the faith would have to have been there. Because these other individuals are going to help spread the word.
So, the only way, you're not going to find any other way for these to get miraculous gift, and that is through the laying on the apostles' hand. Philip had the power to do miracles, but he cannot transfer it. Apostles could give you the miraculous gift of the Holy Spirit, where you can do these gifts to help edify and establish and build up the church. Because how else were you going to get the word to them? It's not written. And then you think about it. When the apostles die, what happened to the transfer of the miraculous gifts? So those that say that they have the power, that they can speak in tongues, or they can do miracles, it's a deception. According to the source, the true word, the Bible, God, the only way you're going to get miraculous gift is through by the laying upon the hands of the apostles and all the apostles are dead. Back.
I was saying in 2 Timothy, Paul reminded Timothy to stir up the gifts of God in his name that came by his laying on of his
hands. Yes. Now, that's what we're talking about. The duration. How long is it to last? 1 Corinthians 13, 8 verses 10, 8 to 10. Love never fails, okay? But where there are prophecies, they will fail. Where there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. According to Paul, these prophecies, these tongues, and this miraculous knowledge thing, they're going to fail, they're going to cease, and they're going to vanish away. Well, when will this happen? He's talking about. He says, for we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. All right? What is that which is perfect? The perfect has to correspond to the part. The parts make up that which is perfect. To know what the perfect is, we're going to identify what the parts are. We'll see about that. Some people say that the perfect is Jesus. Well, yeah, Jesus is perfect. But you look in the context, it's not Jesus. Because there's no parts. We'll look at this. The miraculous gifts were the means by which God revealed his will to the early church in the absence of the New Testament. This was God's plan. This is why he designed it. That he will reveal to the Holy Spirit parts of it to certain people that have miraculous gifts. Because they didn't have the complete word, the complete knowledge. When the saints assembled on the Lord's days, those with the gifts did not recite the entire contents of the New Testament at every assembly. They did what preachers do today. When Doug gets up to preach, does he get up and give you the whole New Testament? No. But he gives you parts of it to help you, to edify what we need to help us in our daily walks, in our daily lives. According to Paul, the perfect would take the place of the parts. If the parts were receiving God's revelation piece by piece, then the perfect is the entirety of God's revelation. The New Testament is the perfect, complete revelation of God's will to make will to mankind in this dispensation here. Think about it, you know, that's reading. No of the people got all the gifts. They just got parts of the gifts. You think about, you know, as we were talking about, as they are out preaching or teaching, or you're in an assembly there, and somebody gets a revelation, they start speaking in tongues. Well, how was that going to edify you if there's nobody, if you didn't understand the language? But if there's somebody there to interpret it for you, that increases and unfolds to tell you what? To help confirm the word, establish it, make it stand. Understand that this is true. It had an effect upon the people when they saw these miracles. Let me tell you. It had a great effect upon the people. And when they were coming to assemble together there, with it was done in an organized fashion. It was not haphazard. You didn't have a bunch of people just jumping up and yelling, everybody speaking in tongues, everything like that. It was organized in the day of the Pentecost because every one of them heard it in their own tongues. They heard it in their own tongues. So what would it do for good for us if everybody just starts, if all of y'all start speaking here and you would not learn the wisdom that I have to give to you? You wouldn't hear it. See? So, Everything was done in an orderly fashion. The parts were. Consider what was happening in the early church. These gifts were given by the laying on the hands of an apostle. When the last apostle died, no one else received these gifts. When the generation of Christians who had last received these gifts from the apostles died, these gifts vanished from the earth. Okay? If I was an apostle and I laid my hands on Grant, since I'm an early person and Grant's younger than I am, you would assume that he's going to live longer than I do. So I die. Grant's got the power to say the word of wisdom. Kind of odd, you word of wisdom. When he dies, where's it going to go? It's gone. It's gone. Okay? He cannot transfer it. He's not an apostle. He received a gift, but he cannot transfer the gift. And at the same time, the writings of the apostles and others inspired men were being copied and transmitted among the churches. As those with the gifts were disappearing, the New Testaments were taking form. By the time these with the gifts, that's the parts, left, the New Testament, the perfect or complete, was available. The gifts were no longer needed because the will of God has been revealed and confirmed. Thus, the New Testament does indeed address the duration of the miraculous gifts of the Holy Spirit. Excuse me. They disappeared from the earth a long time ago. Why would we need miraculous gifts today? We don't. We've got the complete, perfect Word of God. We have it. You got it in your New Testament. You got the Bible. You pick it up. But you have to read it, you have to study it, and meditate on it to learn about it. It's not going to be divinely given to you. You have to do your part. God has already done his part. He's revealed his mind, and it's been written down, and it's been put together for us in the Bible. Now it is up to our part to understand what God wants you and I to do. Back. I agree with 100%. The honest heart. All right. Paul gives two illustrations about this. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. But now, we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known. Paul speaks of his transition from childhood into adulthood. We understand many things change as one makes this transition. A child is not an adult. There is a transition period. There are things one needs as a baby and as a child that he does not need as an adult. The church in its infancy needed the miraculous gift in order to be established. Romans 1:11. For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift, so that you may be established. That's Paul writing to the Romans. He says, I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift. All apostles gives you spiritual gift, that you may be established. when the church outgrew this case, these gifts were no longer needed. When you have the complete, the perfect, why do you just need the parts? Also, he talks about the mirror. But also, Paul also speaks of the difference between seeing his image dimly in a mirror and then seeing it clearly face to face. Mirrors in the first century were polished metal. And if you ever looked into polished metal, you don't get the true essence. They did not produce a clear reflection as our mirrors today. Now, if you look into the mirror today, it's so much better. You get to see the true radiant beauty that you have within you. And so, but back then, the polished mirrors did not show that as well. One could look into a mirror and get an idea of one's appearance, but not the perfect or complete reflection of his appearance. Likewise, the miraculous gifts allowed the early Christian to catch, piece by piece, glances of God's revelation. As I stated before, when an apostle laid his hand, you didn't receive all the miraculous gifts. You received parts of it. Your part may be of healing. Your part may be of faith. Your may part may be of discerning spirits. Piece by piece. That's a part of it. But the New Testament give us the complete picture of God's will. Like we talk about Wednesday night. You look at certain verses or a verse and you pull it out of context. You don't look at the whole picture. You're just looking at one verse. You think, well, I know what this means. No, you don't. You get around it and see what it is. Look at the complete picture. We have the complete. We don't have the pieces that are apart individually, but we have it all together in the New Testament. So the purpose then of the miraculous gift of the Holy Spirit was to help to establish the church in the early ages until that which is perfect or the complete, the New Testament, comes about. This was God's plan. The church started was here before the New Testament was. And so, how are you going to help people become members? How are you going to help them forsake their soul? How are you going to make them a part of the body? The Holy Spirit played a major part in the establishment of the early church. And they did it by miraculous gift. The Holy Spirit distributed himself to individuals, parts of God's words. Now, in conclusion, there is no doubt the miraculous gifts of the Holy Spirit existed in play. We've seen that. And it's an important part in the early church. However, a careful study of the New Testament indicates these gifts served their purpose and lasted for their intended duration. They're gone. They are not needed. And if somebody says they can have it, or they have it, they do it, can do it, let's see if they do it. But let me just tell you, it's a deception, pure and simple. Any other comments or questions? Ann.
Do we know when the first New Testament was put together? I mean, the churches probably didn't have the first New Testament all together.
Wouldn't anybody knows?
King James wrote 1611.
Yeah, but that's a King James version. No, that's King James version.
We have lists of books that were considered books of law, books of authority, written back to the beginning of the second century.
Okay. The point, I think, is a very good question, and the point it is, you think I told you about Grant live. A lot of the people live up to the middle of the second century, they suppose, they think. And that's about when he starts putting it together. Individual apostles wrote their letters, you know, from the standpoint. Now, to put them all together, each one of them, they had their letters, but we always talk about they give it to other churches and they cared about, but they'd start making copies of it. And so about the middle of the second century is when they start with compiled. That's what my understanding is. I wasn't there. So I couldn't really tell you. But that's the thing. Because they think the people died out by the
mid-second
century.
No.
Churches probably did. The church probably had a Bible. But now individually, no. Okay, Freddie?
You know, in connection with miraculous healing here in Kentucky, just within the last year, a guy was bitten, claimed he had that power, was bitten by a snake, I believe a rattlesnake, here in Kentucky, and he died.
Mm-hmm. Foolishness. Pure and simple. Thank you.